Listen, if you have been keeping up with the Daily Walk Challenge, you might have noticed that the readings are a little bit shorter these days. So now's a good time to catch up and to push on to the end here. Our passage for today jumps ahead to the reading that's coming up for this Thursday. It's a great passage from Hebrews and very fitting for Advent as we explore the miracle of Christmas, but it's also a great passage for communion this morning. So we are doubly blessed today. Hebrews, if you didn't know this, is often considered one of the most difficult books in the New Testament to go through, perhaps only surpassed by Revelation. That's because Hebrews has twists and turns, all kinds of little puzzles in it that are challenging. But at the same time, Hebrews reminds us of who Jesus is, all that he has accomplished, and the hope that we have as we entrust our lives to Jesus. And that's good stuff. The first recipients of Hebrews were primarily Jewish Christians, part were Gentiles in the church as well. These believers, they were living in Rome, and they were part of a different house churches scattered throughout Rome. And they've already been persecuted for their faith in Christ. But there's more persecutions to come. They're very serious and severe, and they're just on the horizon for these believers. So this letter comes at a time when the believers are already discouraged, tired, and worn out in their faith. In other words, then, the letter arrives in God's perfect and good timing. The point of the letter, again, is to remind believers all about Jesus and that their faith in him, their trust in him is sure and that they won't be disappointed. And our passage is a great word of exhortation and encouragement. It's from the first four verses. Please listen to the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, again, we're always thankful for your word, and we want it to be the anchor point of our lives in everything that goes on. So Lord, open up our hearts and minds today to understand your word. And may it transform our lives just a little bit more to make us more and more like your son Jesus, who we love and who we trust and who we ask all this in his name. Amen. Well, you know, it is so challenging these days to do communication. It's really not a simple matter anymore of just sending out a flyer or a letter because we all have our own preferred modes and subtleties of communication. I was reading an article from technology and data marketers Twilio, who noted that businesses are trying to communicate with 5 different generations and that the content of each communication must be tailored to effectively reach an audience. For example, if you want to communicate effectively with traditionalists, that is those who are part of the greatest generation, born when, do you know? 1924 or earlier. And those who are part of what's called the silent generation, who are born between 1920 for them and 45. For these generations, their preference of communication for them is either a phone call or a hard copy of a written document. For example, writing a letter. For baby boomers, those who were born between 46 and 64, their communication preference is a phone call as well, but they don't mind getting communication through email. They've gotten used to emails, they've gotten accustomed to it, but they would prefer a phone call. Generation X is where things change as advancements in technology start to accelerate. Gen Xers are born between 1964 and 1980. They prefer email communications over phone calls and don't mind texting with someone. They'll use social media, but for them, it's mostly just for personal use, right? You just want to see what's going on out there. It's not a standard mode of communication for them. Some of you are laughing, going, yep, that's me, right? Millennials, right? Those between 1991 and 97, they love to keep communication short and sweet. They really don't want to get a phone call from you. And what they would prefer is to get a text or get an email, but they don't mind using social media for communication. But the trick for them is they don't want the communication to feel like it's to a group. They want you to personalize it for each one of them. And then there's Generation Z, also called the Boomlets. I couldn't tell you why. I tried to find out. Boomlets. Gen Zers are considered to be digital natives. That is to say, they've grown up with smartphones, with all this technology. They have a large number of social media and apps at their fingertips. They're very comfortable being online, and they prefer social media for communication. But for them, this is an interesting twist. Visuals matter more than words. So lots of emojis and GIFs, those animated pictures to express how you're feeling and what you're thinking. But here's the challenge, right? Even if we're able to communicate using everyone's preferred mode and subtlety, some people still miss the message. That's why the best way to communicate with people, regardless of your generational preference, is always face-to-face. It's always in person. And that's something that our passage brings out this morning and something that the miracle of Christmas declares to us each and every year. When Jesus was born, God has spoken to us in person. Do you get it? God himself communicated directly to each one of us, not through a phone call, not an email or a text, or can you imagine God sending you an emoji or a GIF? That would be weird, right? None of that is. God came personally to speak to us. In fact, his coming is part of the message because God was speaking to us, telling us that he wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. Throughout the Old Testament, God used a process of revelation to make known his plan and his will to the people. He raised up prophets to give people an ever-increasing knowledge of himself and how we're to live in relationship with him. Theologians call this process progressive revelation. But there came a time when God's communication with us became complete. And that was when he sent his son Jesus into the world, and Jesus finished that work. Our passage today makes that distinction very clear. Verse 1, it says, "At many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." The Greek word for spoke is laleo, and the verb form indicates this ongoing process. But in verse 2, it says, "In these last days, he has spoken by his son." It's the same Greek word, but it's a different verb form indicating that the action is now complete. In other words, it's done. It's sufficient, and nothing else needs to be added. Just a word just then with Jesus. This is God's last breathtaking word for these last days. That's who Jesus is to us. And if that's the case, then there are three vital things that we should consider about Jesus this morning. This is where we'll pick up our notes. First, Jesus should take our breath away. Jesus should take our breath away. You know, for the Jewish people, the prophets were highly regarded. Everyone respected and turned to and trusted the prophets. And the prophets also included Abraham, Moses, and Elijah. But our passage makes a massive distinction and separation between the prophets and Jesus. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. There's a continuity between Jesus and the prophets. It's all in the same line here, but there's a huge difference. You see, the prophets spoke with the expectation of the coming Messiah and the coming kingdom of God. However, Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the tip of the spear as the kingdom of God breaks into the world on Christmas Day. Listen to who was born and laid in the manger on that first Christmas day, the Son of God, the heir of all things, the creator of the universe who radiates the glory of God, who shares the very being of God, who sustains everything. He is our great high priest and the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sin. He is the reigning king who is superior to every angel. That should take our breath away. As Augustine put it in his sermons for Christmas and Epiphany, he said, maker of the sun, yet made under the sun. Creator of heaven and earth, yet born on earth under heaven. Filling the world, yet lying in a manger. Ruler of the stars, yet nursing at his mother's bosom. The word of God, yet unable to utter a word. If we dwell on who Jesus is in the miracle of Christmas, that should take our breath away. We should never grow so accustomed to the miracle of Christmas as to have it become commonplace for us. When Peter realized who Jesus was on that boat, when Jesus finished preaching to the crowd, Peter fell down on his face on Jesus' feet and said, go away, for I'm a sinful man. The woman with the hemorrhage, Jairus, the demonic, they all fell at Jesus' feet. When Thomas knew that he was in the presence of the risen Jesus, he bowed down in worship and said, my Lord and my God. When the apostle John encountered Jesus on the island of Patmos, he fell down at Jesus' feet as though dead. And we know that old Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he didn't believe the words of the angel Gabriel when Gabriel told him that he would have a son in his old age. And as a result, Zechariah was unable to speak until the day that John was born. But I think it's fitting that Zechariah was speechless because God was doing something so awesome. God was keeping his promises. They were being fulfilled, and Zechariah's prayers and that of the people were being answered. When was the last time you were left speechless? I can recall 5 occasions in my life when I was left without a word. What about you? To realize not only who Jesus is, but to suddenly comprehend that the Son of God knows you personally, cares about you, and has chosen to leave heaven to be born into the mess of our world, to live, to suffer, to die, to rise again, just to be with you. Shouldn't that leave you breathless? Martin Luther, in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress, noted that one little word shall fell and doom Satan. Shouldn't that one little word take our breath away? And what is that one little word? Jesus. And at his name, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. Second, Jesus never grows old. Jesus never grows old. And as I was looking over the article regarding communication to different generations, I was thinking about some words, some expressions that just grow old over time. Like no one says, peachy keen, right? Or gee, that's swell, right? They just don't do that anymore, right? No one says tubular or rad or rad. Good riddance to those. No one says the bomb anymore, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. My pastor was always trying to keep up on the terminology of the kids and was asking me all the time, what was appropriate to say? What were they using? So he didn't mind saying that something was legit. And I'm just like, what? He would just use it in a sermon. And sometimes he would take great delight when he could work in the word dude, right? Because he knew it would just get your attention. Dude, he would always do that, right? A little raise, little eyebrows going up. Some things, right? We still use some of these sayings today, but some of them just get old. They get overused. They get misused. And at the end of the day, we actually literally grow tired of hearing them. But that's not true for Jesus. Jesus never grows old. That hymn, I love to tell the story, it catches it greatly in one line. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Jesus never grows old. We feel that every Christmas when we sing some of those grand Christmas songs, oh, come all ye faithful, joy to the world, right? They get us. They resonate within us. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world around us or in our own lives. Those songs lift our weary heads and renew our tired and sleepy hearts. Jesus gives us life and satisfies every hunger and thirst of our souls. He doesn't grow old because he is God's word to us for these last days. The Greek word for last days is eschatos, and from it we get the word eschatology, which means the study of last things. So from our passage, we understand that biblically we are in the last days, because in these last days, God has spoken by his son. We're in the last days right now and have been ever since Jesus came. Later on, Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 26, we're told that Jesus has appeared once for all at the end of the ages. Acts chapter 2, verse 18, Peter was speaking to that great crowd in Jerusalem, and he quoted from the prophet Joel, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." So last days refers to the time from the words of the prophets where they're fulfilled, when the Messiah has come, when salvation is a reality, when the Holy Spirit has been given and poured out. We're in the last days now and have been since the birth of Jesus. How much longer will the last days go on? Only God knows that. Whether or not we're in what's called the end times, God knows that too. And you know what? I'm not worried about it. It doesn't matter. Don't dwell on that. And you shouldn't. Our focus, our purpose as missional disciples remains the same. It just doesn't change. We're to know, love, serve, and follow Jesus. And as his ambassadors, we're to proclaim his love, mercy, and forgiveness and grace to all that we encounter. We're to enjoy being in Jesus' presence right now and look forward to the day that we will see Jesus face to face. Being with Jesus, his presence with us every day, that never grows old. And then finally, nothing needs to be added. Nothing needs to be added. Alone, Jesus is the complete and total word of God to us. Nothing needs to be added. He alone is the one we need to hear and know, enjoy, obey, and follow if we're to have peace with the Lord and fulfillment in our own lives. Nothing else will ever give you that satisfaction. That's reflected in the Christmas hymn by Phillips Brooks, "The O Little Town of Bethlehem." The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That means in Jesus, all our hopes find their fulfillment, and all our fears are just washed away. That's not to say that we now just sit around and do nothing. No, Jesus sends us out into the world as he was sent into the world. He said that in John chapter 20, verse 21. We're to engage our culture. We're to enjoy this world and do all that we can to make things better around us, all to God's glory. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. By the way, do you know who your neighbors are? Do you know their first and last names? So the people that live left and right of you, in front of you and behind you? If you don't, you need to go back and look at that passage in Mark. Love your neighbor as yourself. The work of the Spirit is to empower each of us to be his missional disciples and remind us of all that Jesus has said and done. Nothing else is to be added to Jesus. And as Jesus has now taken up his seat and sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's my left. This is the right hand. Do you have a favorite place to sit when you come to church? I know that you do. I can look out. I can see where you normally sit. Don't you just get a little bit annoyed when you walk into church and somebody's in your spot and you're like, wow, church is ruined, right? No, it's not, right? Does unsettle us. You got to find a new place. What about at your home? Do you have a favorite spot where you come to your house, right? A space, a chair, part of a couch that's yours to sit on at the end of the day. You enjoy that spot because it signals to you and to everyone around you, I'm done. I'm not getting up unless I really, really have to, right? You enjoy that spot. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father because it's done. He's done, right? The work he was born to do, the perfect sacrifice for our sin, that was made on the cross. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. Nothing more needs to be added. Don't look for a new teaching, a new perspective, a new way of doing things. It's never Jesus and something else. We covered that last week. It's just Jesus. And what you need is more of him, not something else added to him. Through Jesus, all things were created. All things are held together. The miracle of Christmas in Jesus' birth, his sinless life, his teachings, and all that Jesus did, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. Jesus is the last breathtaking word for us in these last days. Now look, I know I'm being somewhat simplistic when I say this, but Jesus is the answer to every issue and concern of your life. My friends, trust him, lean into him, seek to know, love, serve, and follow him more and more every day. If grief and sadness, if that overwhelms you, if you feel the hurt and separation of loneliness, if you're sick and there's only so much that doctors can do, and thank you, Lord, for those doctors, but if there's only so much they can do, if you're feeling ashamed, feeling like you're a failure, feeling overwhelmed and frustrated, worried about the future for you, for your kids, for your grandkids. If you feel like you can't measure up and are feeling the heavy weight of expectation and you don't know how things are going to meet and how you're going to take care of things. If you're afraid and worried at the sunset of your life, if you're feeling any of those things, I encourage you to pray, to do your best, but above all, trust Jesus. Trusting Jesus, that's what we do when we come to the communion table. Jesus is here. He's with us. He's speaking to you personally of God's love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. This, when we celebrate communion, is a face-to-face meeting with him. So don't phone it in. Trust him and let him help you face the issues of your life and hear that great invitation that Jesus gives to all of us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we're so grateful that you have accomplished all things for us through the gift of your son, Jesus, on that first Christmas morning. Lord, may it never become just a common thing for us in our lives and for the ways that we engage and do things day to day. Lord, may it never become a private thing. As many of us sometimes think, oh no, it's just me as an individual. My faith is just for me. No, it's not. It's in you that we are bound together as a body of believers. It's you that holds us together, and it's you that builds us up in love with each other. So Lord, help us to live as your sons and daughters. We don't live in isolation. We live together as an amazing community of faith. And Lord, we want to live for you because you're the only word we need to pay attention to. All that other stuff is just going to let us down. All that other stuff is just going to wind us up. You never grow old. You are the complete and total word to us today. And may we be forever grateful, and may that take our breath away. And Lord, we do ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.